Shalom Aleichem. For Parsha Shmos, we have Amir Tashem 6 Divrei Torah. We'll start out with an overview of the Parsha, and then we'll get to our Divrei Torah. On a high level, we have an amazing transition now going from the story of Sefer Bereishis, which is about individuals. It's about Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, individuals, and the 12 children of Yaakov, etc. And now we are moving forward to the story of Klal Yisrael. And what we see is tremendous growth, population growth of Klal Yisrael, which is discussed all the way at the beginning of Sefer Shmos. In this week's Parsha, Parsha Shmos, Klal Yisrael grows great, but the downside of that is Paro and the Mitzrim grow concerned. They are now a military threat to us. Their numbers are so great, and accordingly, he comes up with the concept of let's start slow, but let's wind up enslaving Klal Yisrael. There's the decree against the Jewish baby boys that they should be thrown into the Nile because of the concern that their savior will be born. And in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu is born at that time, and he grows up. He is saved, as we know, by the daughter of Paro, and he grows up as an Egyptian prince in the house of Paro himself. But despite that, he does identify with the Jews. We see that in the story, that there is one day that he goes out of the palace and he sees an Egyptian hitting a Jew. He sides with the Jew. He kills the Egyptian. He buries him in the sand. Hopefully nobody knows about it. But then the very next day, he goes out and he sees a Jew killing a Jew. And he says to one of them, "Why are you hitting your brethren? Why are you doing that?" And the Jew, the aggressor, says as follows, "Are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" And now Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Achei noda hadavar, it is known." He thought people had not found out that he killed the Egyptian, and it became common knowledge. Everyone's talking about it. Word gets all the way to Paro. Paro wants to kill Moshe. Moshe has to flee for his life. Moshe Rabbeinu winds up in Midian. He meets his wife, Zipporah, gets married, and he's acting as a shepherd, working as a shepherd for his father-in-law and the amazing burning bush. Moshe Rabbeinu is out in the distance, and he sees the burning bush. It is burning, but it is not becoming consumed. And now we have the extensive discussions between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, discussing that God wants Moshe to head back to Mitzrayim and to take the Jews out of Egypt. Moshe has concerns. "I'm not the right person for the job. I'm not worthy. Maybe Klal Yisrael is not worthy of being brought out." Nonetheless, eventually, after extensive discussions and negotiations, Moshe Rabbeinu does consent. He agrees, heads back to Egypt, this time initially with his wife and his baby boy who needed a breast. And we have the story of the snake that attacks Moshe Rabbeinu, swallows him partially, and Tzipporah has to give a breast to the baby boy. Aaron eventually now Tzipporah gets sent back to Midian after being convinced to do so. This isn't the right place. Aaron says, "It's just for you to come, not everyone else." And so Aaron goes out, meets Moshe Rabbeinu, and then together, Moshe and Aaron, they go to Paro. And unfortunately, things do not go very well. Paro was offensive. He was offensive. "Of course I'm not going to let the Jews out. You're quoting God. Who is God? I don't know who this God is that I should listen to him." And things initially really did not go well. We are going to now start off at the beginning of the Parsha. First pasuk of the Parsha that says that Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim. Ish ubeisu ba'u, each individual in his household, they arrived in Mitzrayim. And the Drash Vayun says something interesting and somewhat sad as follows. He says the conventional way when someone relocates, and that's what we're talking about here, is that Klal Yisrael is relocating. We have Yaakov Avinu and his children, and they're relocating, their families, they're relocating from the small town of Canaan to the large metropolis of Mitzrayim. And indeed, that is quite a change. And oftentimes, says the Drash Vayun, when you have a change like something like that, somebody goes, for example, a small town, and he's raised properly and has a proper Jewish chinuch in Yirah Shamayim and learning, and he relocates to a city that has a draw, and it has a Yetzer Hara, and has the glitter and glamour of a large city. It's like moving to a place that is indeed full of moral decay, that can have an impact. But oftentimes the head of the household, he'll be able to weather the storm. He had a proper chinuch, and he comes from the small town, and he knows how to handle himself. But unfortunately, oftentimes, his children, they have a much tougher time spiritually. And it happens little by little, but they get acclimated to the big town and the glitter and the schmutz, and they get sucked in. And unfortunately, they get taken off the derech. That is a common occurrence, says the Drash Vayayun. Accordingly, the Torah is saying that when it came to Yaakov Avinu, it was different. When it came to Yaakov's family, Ish Ubeisobau, together, the fathers, the children, the household, they came together. And it wasn't only the head of the household that had his proper chinuch and knan that was successful in being able to stave off the depravity of Mitzrayim, but also his children were successful as well. They had a proper environment growing up with Emunah and Yirat Shamayim, and accordingly, the entire household that came down, they were all able to maintain their identity, the Shmiras HaMitzvahs and the Yirat Shamayim, despite being in Egypt. And the question is, in the Drash Vayayun, he doesn't ask this question, but the question is, so how do they do it? If oftentimes the concern is that young ones are going to be taken off the derech and they're not going to survive, so how was Yaakov Avinu successful with the families that he came down? And it wasn't only him, but the rest of them were also able to survive and thrive despite that negative environment. And I think we can answer simply that Yaakov Avinu had awareness as to what the challenges would be. He is an individual who did not grow up isolated from others. That was who Yaakov Avinu was, is that he had exposure to the negativity of life. He had exposure to Lavan for so many years, a cheat, somebody who was really out to get him, all about materialism and money. And Yaakov Avinu had to deal with Esav, his brother, who hated him so much. And because of the awareness that he had and the experiences that he had in dealing with those type of environments, those negative environments, he knew what he was getting into. And in fact, that's what he taught Yosef. He taught Yosef that the information, the methods, the techniques that he would need to know in order to survive. And that's why Yosef was successful in surviving in Egypt by himself without any infrastructure, without any familial assistance there. So certainly Yaakov was able to teach that to his other children as well. Now that it was necessary, they're going down to Egypt, awareness number one, and teaching them what was necessary in order to survive and thrive, with the knowledge that it's hard. It is a struggle, but with awareness and preparation, indeed, you can be successful. Moving on to Dvar Torah number two, we're still in the first perek, Pasuk Zayin, and it says, Vatimelei ha'aretz osam, that indeed the land grew with Klal Yisrael. There was full of Klal Yisrael. There's so many of them, the multitude, they waxed and multiplied, and the land was full of them. So the Yalkut, the Medrash and the Yalkut says something interesting. He says, what does that mean that the Jews were all over? Kevan shinis almu bate tratios behem miyad gazu aleim sheyifreshu mehem. As soon as the cultural sources, the theaters were full of Klal Yisrael, that's when the Egyptians said, that's enough, we need to make decrees, we need to separate the Jews from us. And indeed, based on that, we see that as long as the Jews, they become part and parcel, significant in the secular cultural society of the non-Jews, that backfires. That indeed, it backfired in Mitzrayim. And that's when the scene of the hatred of the non-Jews grows precipitously towards the Jews. And that's when the non-Jews say, we need to put limitations on this. And that's what we see nowadays as well, that we have the non-Jewish claim that the Jews, they are in control of the cultural centers of Hollywood, and they're running everything, and all the news stations, and all the glamour, and the movie theaters, and the movie production houses, all in control of the Jews. And we see indeed that when the Jews do get too involved in the culture of the secular society, oftentimes it backfires. And that, unfortunately, is what we are seeing in society right now, just like can happen in Mitzrayim. We are now moving forward to number three Dvar Torah number 3, the same parak, Pasuk Ches, famous Pasuk, Vayakam Melech Hadash al Mitzrayim Asher Lo Yadas Yosef. We have a new king, a new Egyptian king, a new paro, and he did not know Yosef. And it's a discussion in Chazal, was this actually a new king? The old king passed away, we have a new king now, and he really didn't know Yosef. Or are we just saying that it's the same king, but he pretended to not know Yosef, he wanted to deal with the Jewish problem? And you have to forget that it was actually the Jews that got you through the famine and more. So we have here a statement that the new paro, he did not know Yosef. What's going on here? So the Imre Esh is something fascinating, a little bit unexpected. What does that mean, he didn't know Yosef? He didn't know about the history of Yosef. He didn't know about the challenges that Yosef lived. He didn't know about the treatment of Yosef. Because had he known, had he looked into the story of Yosef and what had happened with Yosef, he would not have treated the Jews in such a negative way. What does that mean? So it goes as follows. Had he known the story of Yosef, what would he have seen? He would have learned an important lesson that when you are negative, when you are adverse, when you're hostile to the Jews, that backfires. As we see when it came to Yosef, Yosef had a lot of hostility in his life from his brothers, a lot of hostility, a hatred from his brothers, and also how he was cheated by Potiphar and he was thrown in jail. And the more negativity, the more adversity to Yosef, and despite it, and because of it, that's why he was so successful, and he grew greater and greater. The more adversity, the more hostility, the greater he became. And indeed, had the new paro looked into that and said, how is a Jew treated? If you cheat him, as you think, if you're going to be abusive to him, you'd think that it'll be successful in beating him down. But we see from the example of Yosef, we see he didn't know Yosef. He didn't know what had Yosef happened. He didn't know, because had he seen that with adversity, Yosef grew even greater, he would not have treated the Jews with such adversity. Because that's exactly what happened. As he decreed more and more, the Jews grew greater and greater. They multiplied and multiplied even more. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4. We have the decree against the Jewish baby boys. And we have the two Jewish midwives, Shifra and Puah. They were actually Yocheved and Miriam, Moshe Rabbeinu's mother and sister. And despite the decree, they were saving the little Jews, the baby boys who were born, and at the risk of their lives, because they were tremendous Yirei Shamayim. They feared God, and despite the decree against the Jews and the requirement that they actually do away to kill the baby boys, they refused. They did not do that. And because of that, the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for them batim, made for them houses. So what does that mean, to make somebody a house? So there are various explanations of this, but one of them is as follows, by the Degel Machane Ephraim. He says that a bayis, what's this concept of a bayis? It means it becomes a center, a hub of inspiration for others. And he says as follows, when you have a Jew who is moser his nefesh for a mitzvah, works really hard at a given mitzvah, that person's essence becomes that mitzvah. That person becomes a bias. He becomes a hub. He becomes a center of inspiration for others. And he gives examples of that. He says that if somebody really works hard on the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, that he should inspire others to love God, or somebody who's very successful, works hard at Kiruv, that person becomes a bias, he becomes a hub, he becomes a center for love of God, or somebody who focuses on Yira Shamayim, and he's really his moser nefesh for it, for himself, and for others, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make that person a bias, a hub, a center of inspiration for others, for Yira Shamayim. And accordingly, the Pasuk is read as follows, because the midwives, Shifra and Puah, who are Yocheved and Miriam, they feared God and they were moser nefesh in order to save the lives of those babies that were supposed to be killed. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu vayaslam batim, because they were such Yirei Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them batim as well. They made them batim. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them into houses, hubs, centers of inspiration, of fear, that people would look up to them, and they influenced and inspired others in Yerushalayim. And we would say the same thing. You see these individuals that do amazing things in their lives, and they act as representatives in specific areas. You have an Eli Beer, for example, representing Mesiris Nefesh for health of Klal Yisrael with what he does with Hatzalah, or the people who are running the Kiruv organizations, Eisha Torah, or Sameach, the Rosh Yeshiva there, the Mesiris Nefesh that they have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed increases, and he builds them batim, he makes them a hub, a center, that you just look at these people, you're inspired in the specific area that they are Moser Nefesh about. You're now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 5, when Moshe Rabbeinu went out that one day, as we talked about before, he saw an Egyptian killing a Jew. He kills the Egyptian, he saves the Jew. But the next day, things got really negative. The next day, when he goes out and sees a Jew hitting a Jew, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, "What are you doing?" And the Jew, the aggressor, said, "Are you going to kill me? Like you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Achei noda hadavar, it is known." Now, the simple understanding of this, what is known, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, it is known that I killed the Egyptian yesterday, and that's a real danger for me. I need to flee. Indeed, that's what happened. But there's a different explanation. The Sfas Emes says that what is Achei noda hadavar means something totally different. We have Moshe Rabbeinu coming out, and he was wondering on his mind is, why are the Jews subjugated? What did they do wrong that of all the nations of the world, here they are being enslaved, being the target of the aggression of Paro, the hatred of the meat stream? Why? What did they do wrong that they don't have merits? They have negative merit, demerits. And what specifically are their demerits that they are in this predicament, enslavement nowadays? And he says, now I get it. When he goes out and he sees how a Jew treats another Jew, abusive to him, speaking negatively to him, machlokis among the Jews, lashon hara about the Jews, that is achein noda davar. Now Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I get it. I get it. And in fact, when God approaches him, they have the discussion at the burning bush, and Moshe Rabbeinu in fact says it, v'chiotzi es b'nei Yisrael, I'm going to take up b'nei Yisrael. What merit do they have? Why should I be taking them out? I see only negatively. I saw a Jew beating on a Jew, and they speak negatively, and they fight together. And the message here says, the Sfas Emes, is that even with all the great zchuyos, even with all these great merits, they may have mitzvahs in their favor, but when you have that being counteracted by lashon hara, machlokis between the Jews, rechilus, talking negatively, you can have all the merits in the world, but when you have this machlokis and klal Yisrael, Jew hitting a Jew, not getting along, disagreements and the like, that is going to the negativity. The demerits are going to outweigh all of the merits. And that's why Achei Noda Davar, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, going out and seeing this Jew hitting the Jew, now I get it. Now I understand why they are being subjugated to the Egyptian nation. And the message obviously is, we have to increase merits. We need zchuyos, but we also have to ensure that we don't have the machlokis and klal Yisrael, that even with all the zchuyos, if we have machlokis, lashon hara, nechilus, that is going to outweigh all the merits in the world. So we need to make sure that we don't have those negative factors and only have positive factors. Now we're moving forward to the end of the parsha, Dvar Torah number 6. We had Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron go together to Taparo, and it did not go well. They said, no, God told us, and this is what you have to adhere to, Paro, Shalach es ami, send out my nation. And Paro responds in a very gruff, negative way. He says, Mi Hashem asher shema b'kolo, who is this God that I said listen to? Lo yadati es Hashem, I don't know who you're talking about. It's so negative to God. How can he speak that way? Moshe Rabbeinu goes and complains. First, Klal Yisrael is complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu goes and complains to God. And at the beginning of the sixth parak, at the way end of the parsha, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Atah tireh asher eseh l'paro. Now you're going to see. Now you're going to see what I'm going to do to Paro. And the Shem Mishmuel says as follows, until now, as we saw in our various Divrei Torah, we have concerns. Are Klal Yisrael, are they worthy to get out? Are they not worthy? We have real claims against them. Maybe they don't have enough merits to get out. And maybe that's why they are enslaved and they should stay there. And indeed, those were potentially valid claims against Klal Yisrael. However, now that we have Paro acting with chutzpah, brazenness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying, Lo yadasti es Hashem, v'gam Yisrael lo eshlach, I don't know who this God is, and I'm certainly not sending out Klal Yisrael. When we have an issue that is relating to Kvod Shamayim, to the Kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the sorrow of the Shekhinah, that is going over the line. Paro enslaving the Jews, maybe there was merit to that. They certainly had certain demerits, and maybe they merited that punishment. But you stepped over the line, and when you talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with chutzpah, says the Shem Yishmuel, for sure, the Geula is now going to ensue. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.